Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is the next in a series looking at the financial implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine on the global economy. And in today's episode, I want to talk about food. Now, food supplies and potential shortages is an issue that's been recurring ever since the start of the war, because Ukraine was previously referred to as the breadbasket of Europe. And that's because it is a major producer of wheat and corn and sunflower seeds. And so the loss of those potential crops meant that we were running the risk of a potential food crisis, not just in Europe, but in the whole of the world, because Ukraine exports to a variety of countries. And in the first few months of the war, we saw the price of all of those food staples skyrocket, and that pushed inflation up all across the world. And in an effort to address this problem, Turkey got involved and they brokered a deal between Ukraine, Russia and the United Nations to allow the safe passage and export of Ukrainian crops. And over the last few months, we've started to see prices coming back down. And whilst food security issues are still a major concern, there was hope that we'd be able to redress the balance and avoid a major famine crisis all across the world. However, as a result of recent alleged attacks, Russia have now announced that they have exited from the grain deal that was signed back in July, and that they can no longer guarantee safe passage of any of the Ukrainian crops. So in today's video, we'll have a look at exactly what Russia have announced. We'll talk about what the implications of this are in the short term and the medium term. We'll have a look at how important Ukraine is. We'll look at some of the crops that it's producing. We'll have a look at exactly what crops Ukraine is producing, where those crops are grown, and what the problems are here. We'll have a look at what's going on with regards to prices. I'll then go on to share with you an update on the Global Food Crisis Report that I reported on a few months ago. And then I'll finish up today with my summary as to what I think the implications of Russia's latest actions are for food supplies, food prices, inflation and the global economy. So before we get started on all of that, if I could ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video, if you're enjoying the content, please subscribe if you haven't done so already. Don't forget, I always include chapters, so if you don't have time to watch the entire video, you can pick and choose what you'd like to have a look at. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below, where you'll find links to YouTube Super Thanks and membership, as well as Buy Me a Coffee, Patreon, and Amazon shopping links. And once again, I'd just like to say thank you so much to everyone that has supported the channel. I don't have time to respond to everybody individually, but I do get individual notifications so I can see exactly who's supporting the channel, and I really appreciate it. As I mentioned in the introduction, Ukraine holds a really important position in the global supply of food. This graphic shows the position that Ukraine holds in terms of the export of certain key food substances. And it shows that Ukraine is the largest exporter of sunflower seeds, which are important because they're used to make sunflower oil, which is used as the basic cooking ingredient in a lot of emerging and developing countries. And Ukraine currently supplies around 50% of all of the sunflower seeds that are exported globally. Ukraine is the second largest exporter of barley, which is the fourth most consumed food substance in the world after wheat, rice, and maize or corn. Ukraine is the third largest exporter of wheat, which is the basic ingredient that's used to make flour that's then used to produce bread and pasta and noodles and couscous, which make up the mainstay of the diet in a lot of emerging and developing countries. It's also the third largest exporter of rapeseed or canola, which is also used to make cooking oil. And it's the fourth largest exporter of corn or maize, which is the third largest consumed food group in the world after wheat and rice. And as it's gluten-free, it's used to make a variety of unleavened bread products, such as tortillas and cornbread. And just to put the scale of the problem into perspective, this graph shows the increase in the production of barley, corn, and wheat over the course of the last 20 years in Ukraine. And this graphic shows that Ukraine has been focusing on the two most popular food substances of corn and wheat, which along with rice make up around 51% of all of the calories consumed globally each day. And over the last 20 years, the volume of corn produced from Ukraine has increased from around 4 million tons to 42 million tons. So that represents more than a 10 times increase in that 20-year period. And the volume of wheat produced has increased from around 10 million tons to over 33 million tons, so more than a 3 times increase. And the reason that I wanted to show this graphic is that Ukraine has been increasing its production to feed the export market. This isn't because Ukraine's population has been expanding exponentially. This is because there is demand globally. Ukraine has very fertile soil and very good growing conditions for crops such as corn and wheat, and therefore it's been expanding its business, but more importantly, it's been supplying these critical grains all around the world to countries that are desperate for food. So you can see from this analysis how important Ukraine has become in the global food supply chain. But let's have a look at what's going on specifically in the regions that Russia has invaded that are now currently occupied. Ukraine is one of the largest producers and exporters of wheat. And in 2021, it supplied around 9% of global wheat exports. If we now look at this map and focus our attention on the four key regions to the east of Ukraine. These four regions contribute 21% of Ukraine's wheat production, and in 2021 the country produced 33 million tonnes in total. So the area that's currently controlled by Russia produces 7 million tonnes of wheat. And in terms of export tonnage, that equates to around 40% of the total volume of wheat that Ukraine exported in 2021. Ukraine is the world's largest exporter of sunflower oil and has a market share of around 50%. In 2021, Ukraine produced 19 million tonnes of sunflower seeds, and 19% or 3.6 million tonnes were produced in the four areas that are currently occupied by Russia. Millet is a grain that's used for livestock feed all around the world, and Ukraine is the second largest exporter globally, produced around 31 million tonnes in 2021. As you can see from this map, the four areas currently occupied by Russia equate to 28% of all of the millet produced, which equates to around 9 million tonnes. Ukraine is the fourth largest exporter of barley globally, and as you can see from the map, 17% of all barley production comes directly from the areas controlled by Russia. Rapeseed, or canola as it's also called, is another very popular vegetable oil. In 2021, 23 million tonnes of rapeseed was produced in the country, and 12% or around 3 million tonnes was produced in the areas that are currently occupied by Russia. One of the immediate implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine was that Ukraine lost access to a lot of its ports, but also it lost control of the Black Sea. Russia sent a lot of warships into the area, and it was no longer safe for Ukrainian commercial vessels to leave port and try to deliver those crops. As a result of this, the global food market lost the supply of all Ukrainian grains overnight, and this led to a spike in food prices, particularly for wheat and corn and sunflower oil. And at that time, it was estimated that around 180 million people globally were at risk of food insecurity and potentially famine. And the reports that were produced at that time have now been updated, and I can give you an updated figure on what the global food insecurity numbers are later in this video. Now, the United Nations was highly concerned about this situation, and great efforts were made by Turkey to broker a deal between Russia, Ukraine, and the UN to try to allow these commercial vessels to have safe passage through the Black Sea and be able to deliver all of these food substances. And on the 22nd of July, a deal was signed between all parties for 120 days to ensure that all of those exports could continue. And this was seen as a landmark agreement and was the first sign of hope that we could get the global food crisis under control. And since that deal was signed, over 9 million tonnes of grain and other food substances have left Ukrainian ports, and we have seen prices starting to come back down globally. However, Russia have now announced that they have exited from the deal and that they are no longer prepared to guarantee safe passage of any of these commercial ships. The Russian Defense Ministry claimed that Ukraine attacked its Black Sea fleet near Sevastopol with 16 drones and that British Navy specialists had helped coordinate what it called a terrorist attack. Russia said it repelled the attack, but that the ships targeted were involved in ensuring the grain corridor out of Ukraine's Black Sea ports. In response to this, Ukraine's foreign minister said that Moscow had used the explosions, which took place over 130 miles away from the grain corridor, as a false pretext for the long-intended move to exit from the grain deal. As a direct result of the suspension of the arrangement, Ukraine claims that 218 vessels are effectively blocked and unable to sail to their destination ports. In a telegram message, the Ukrainian ministry stated that as Ukraine does not have permits from the scheme's Joint Coordination Centre to pass through the safe corridor, All 218 vessels are now blocked in their current positions. Now, clearly one of the biggest issues relating to the supply of food and the subsequent potential shortage is the impact on the price. And the price of food is really important because it's one of the critical factors in the global calculation of inflation. And as you'll know if you follow the channel, one of the problems that the global economy faces right now is that we've got really high rates of inflation in most countries around the world. And the two areas that have been most affected as a result of Russia's invasion of Ukraine are food prices and fuel prices. And the problem that we have with both of those is that they disproportionately affect the poorer members of all societies, because everybody needs to eat and most people need fuel, either for heating and cooking or for transport. And the price of the food substances that are the key exports for Ukraine, being wheat, corn, and sunflower oil, are absolutely critical to the diet of a lot of poor people all around the world. As I mentioned earlier, wheat is crushed to make flour, and that flour is used to produce pasta and bread and noodles and couscous. And that makes up a large portion of a lot of people's diet. So let's have a look at what's been going on with the price of all of these key food substances and where we are right now. This chart shows the movement in the price of wheat over the last 12 months. And as you can see, following Russia's invasion of Ukraine at the end of February, there was a huge increase in wheat prices. But it's really interesting to note that the huge spike in prices actually came right back down at around the same time that the grain deal was signed with Russia. So the world could see that the bottleneck was potentially going to be lifted, and prices then started to return back to the same sort of level that they'd been trading at prior to the war. However, if you look at what's been happening since the middle of August, when rumours started to circulate that Russia may potentially not renew the 120-day deal that was due to expire on the 19th of November, prices started to move back up again. And if you look at what's happened over the course of the last few days, you can see that we have got a really big spike in prices. So this really shows how sensitive wheat prices are to what's going on in Ukraine right now. However, this 12-month graph doesn't really give you a good indication of what's going on with regards to wheat prices and why we've got such high levels of price inflation right now. If I expand the graph to show the 5-year period, you can see what the problem is. Over the course of the last 2 years, since we came out of the COVID pandemic, the price of wheat has doubled. And that is a major problem for a lot of emerging and developing countries. Wheat is used to produce the most basic food substances that a lot of people rely upon. And those people just don't have the capacity to be able to pay double for the flour or the bread or the pasta or the noodles or the couscous that they need to eat on a daily basis. And therefore, what's been happening over the course of the last 2 years is that those people just can't afford to buy as much wheat or bread or food, and therefore they are eating less. And that's why we've got an increasing global problem right now with food insecurity. The poorest members of society in a lot of countries spend between 50 and 90% of all of their income on food. And when food doubles in price, it means that they can buy half as much. This graph shows the movement in corn prices over the last 12 months, and it has exactly the same profile as what we've just seen for wheat. There was a huge increase in the price of corn following Russia's invasion of Ukraine at the end of February. That price came back down again when the deal was signed with Russia. However, over the last couple of months, we've seen prices moving up again, and in the last few days, prices have started to take off. And once again, if I expand this graph to show the 5-year period, and as you can see, over the last 2 years, the price of corn has more than doubled. So it's actually increased proportionately more than wheat prices. And that, again, is a major problem for all the same reasons for emerging and developing countries. So on one hand, we can talk about inflation and why prices are rising all across the world. These movements in corn and wheat prices have definitely had a major influence on inflation. So that's causing problems for economies. But it's also causing food insecurity and famine issues in the less developed countries. And just to finish off, here's the graph for sunflower oil, which has a very similar profile. There was a dramatic increase in price following the invasion. That came back down again around the time when the deal was signed. And we're now starting to see prices rise again. And here's the 5-year view of sunflower oil prices. And you can see that it has exactly the same profile. Prices have doubled over the last 2 years. At the start of June, I posted a video talking about global food insecurity. and specifically referred to the report that had been produced by the Food Security Information Network. Now, at the time I made that video, it was estimated that around 180 million people across the globe were facing food insecurity. So these are people who potentially were going to bed hungry every single night. And this graphic shows an update on the estimated figure, and as you can see, it's now forecast that around 205 million people are facing food insecurity in 45 different countries. And that figure represents an increase of around 30 million from the end of 2021. And this graphic shows the regions that are most affected. And you can see that in East Africa, there are around 55 million people affected. There are around 52 million people in Eurasia, 44 million in Central and Southern Africa, 41 million in West Africa, and almost 13 million in Latin America and the Caribbean. And if we look at this graphic, it shows the countries where the problems are accelerating at the fastest rate. And you can see that there's been an increase in Nigeria of 6.5 million people who are now at risk of food insecurity. In Somalia, another 3.6 million are at risk, 2.9 million in Yemen, 2 million in Kenya, 1.9 million in Sudan, 1.8 million in Niger, and 1.2 million in Malawi. So I wanted to share these figures with you because obviously the main focus of this channel is to look at economics. We look at what's going on with regards to the economy and revenues and income and GDP. And the potential problems that are now arising as a result of Russia cancelling this grain deal is that we're going to see food prices increasing, and that will push up inflation and will continue to cause problems all around the world. But the problems with regards to food supply are not just limited to financial issues. There are actual hunger issues, famine issues, and potential deaths. And that's really why I wanted to include this data, just to put it into perspective, that it's not just all about how much money you've got in your pocket, but people are at risk of dying as a result of what's happening in Ukraine. So Russia invading Ukraine doesn't just have an impact in terms of the deaths involved in that war. The real death toll from this conflict will be much greater because people will be dying all across the world as a result of not having enough food. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video because I've posted a variety of videos talking about the food crisis and the impact of rising food prices on the global economy. And what we've got here today is a combination of both of those factors. The fact that Russia pulled out of the grain deal really raises the question as to whether or not these commercial vessels will be able to sail safely through the Black Sea. Over the last day or so, it's been reported that the United Nations are still sending these vessels. So some of the ships are still sailing, but there's no longer a guarantee that they'll make it safely to their destination port. So there's a lot more risk, there's a lot more uncertainty. I don't know what the situation is with regards to the insurance of these ships, whether or not having this guarantee lifted will invalidate any of that insurance, but it will certainly cause a lot more nervousness amongst the sailors and the people who are actually having to navigate through these channels. And once again, from the global markets perspective, what we've seen is an immediate increase in the price of wheat and corn and sunflower oil, and that will have a knock-on impact to food prices all across the world. So once again, we're seeing volatility in international markets as a direct result of what's happening in Ukraine. Now, Russia has identified the recent drone attacks on one of its ships as the reason why they're pulling out of this deal. But I think if you take a step back and look at what's going on overall at the moment, Russia are accusing the West on a variety of different fronts. President Putin recently had a 3.5-hour Q&A in Moscow where he said that the West was trying to achieve world dominance and Russia is pushing back against that. And as I've said in other videos, I think Russia is trying to reinvent the Cold War. They're trying to get other countries to join them in a fight against the West. And they're really looking to set up new trading alliances because of the financial sanctions. They've lost a lot of markets all around the world. They know that they won't be able to export oil and gas going forward into Europe or the USA or the UK or Australia. So the global market is diminishing for Russia, and it's trying to set up new alliances and new trading partners. And it's really desperate to develop that relationship with China and India. And it's reaching out here and trying to make the West look bad. And my guess is that they will try to develop stronger bonds with other nations who also have issues with the West. And citing these drone attacks on one of its ships seems like a convenient excuse for Russia to blame the West for having to stop all of these food exports. But the bottom line in this whole situation is that it will definitely drive up the price of food, and that's going to keep inflation high, and that will help Russia in its political fight against the West. Russia is very happy to see inflation remaining high in all of these countries because that will put more political pressure on their leaders to try to bring some sort of resolution to what's going on in Ukraine to get everything back under control. But in the short term, we will see an increase in prices. That's then likely to lead to an increase in interest rates at a faster rate in a lot of countries because everybody's trying to bring prices back down under control. But unfortunately, if prices, such as the price of food, are being driven by macro events, then increasing interest rates in individual countries won't actually have the desired effect. It won't bring the price of food back down until we get supply and demand balanced in the global economy. So all we're going to get is continued higher prices, but at the same time, it's likely that we'll see a slowdown in those economies because as interest rates go up, it increases the price of debt, it reduces the amount of free cash that individuals and companies have, and therefore spending goes down in that economy, and therefore we see a contraction. So when you look at the bigger picture, cancelling the grain deal looks like a political move by Russia to keep prices high, to keep inflation high, to push interest rates up and put more pressure on the global economy. And it's likely that this will accelerate a slowdown globally and probably push most of the world into recession over the course of the next 3 to 6 months. So one of the reasons that I wanted to make this video is really to put into perspective how something like Russia deciding to cancel their grain deal can have a direct impact on you and your household budget. Because by doing that, they pushed up the price of wheat and corn and sunflower oil. And they are very basic ingredients that go into the price of everything. So the price of a loaf of bread, the price of a bag of noodles, the price of a bag of pasta will all be going up as a direct result of this action. And that means the cost of your shopping basket goes up. That means you've got less cash and therefore it's having a direct impact on you. So once again, this is a good example of how the whole world is interconnected and how something happening in Eastern Europe can affect everybody all across the globe. So I'll keep you posted on any further developments on this topic. Hopefully you found today's video interesting, informative, and slightly thought-provoking. If you've liked what I've said, please give me a thumbs up and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already.